It's Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network. Today, it's brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Check out wholefoods.com. And we're also at Roberta's Pizza, the home of Heritage Radio Network. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, lovely, sunny August Monday. That would be more poetic, having the alliteration with the S. But anyway, today we have a couple of guests on the show, and they both happen to be cheese buyers for two of the finest cheese stores in the city. They happen to be Lucy's Way, which is at Chelsea Market, and Brooklyn Larder, cheese shop, meat shop, provisions in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. So thanks so much. And their names, of course, are not just the names of the stores. We got Amy Thompson from Lucy's Way. Thanks so much for coming. Hey, your second time at Heritage. We got Sergio Hernandez from Brooklyn Larder.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
It's such a fun pleasure to have you guys on air. And you have, so much to talk about with cheese. Every time I walk in, to the larder or something like that, it's just, I could talk forever and listen to you guys forever. So one question a couple of friends wanted me to ask you guys is, what cheese would you buy for somebody else who's a cheese nerd? So you're trying to impress somebody, you're coming over for whatever, wine and cheese, and you got to bring the cheese.
To impress a cheese nerd, if you want to bring something that's unique and outstanding.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I'm clueless.
Yeah, that's always a hard one. I think people often ask me, like, what would I bring you or something? I'm always impressed by the most classic cheeses that are just done to perfection. I mean, my favorite cheese of all time is Parmigiano Reggiano, and people are often surprised to hear that. But
yeah, Parmesan is the king of cheese.
Yeah, and you can't beat a really, really good piece of Parmigiano in my book. Huh. And I think that's something you can bring somebody who's a cheese nerd, and if they're a cheese nerd, they're going to recognize that it's outstanding Parmigiano, and they're going to say, wow, that's not the stuff from the supermarket.
Cool. So it's a good gift because you could use it, throughout the week for everything. What is a really good Parmigiano Reggiano then?
Well,
because I don't really know.
Lucy's Way is a cheese shop in New York City in Chelsea Market that only has American artisan cheeses. And people ask us all the time for Parmesan, so we decided it was important to have Parmesan, even though it's made in Italy. And so we have a specific one.
It's made in Parma.
Emilia Romagna.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we have one that's aged 2 years that comes from one specific farm, and we cut it into pieces there. So we don't have it grated. We just have it by the piece in the store.
Okay. So Emilia, what's it called?
Emilia Romagna is the region. The cheese Parmigiano Reggiano gets its name from the towns of Parma and Reggio Emilia.
Reggio Emilia
being the two towns that are most dominant in the production. What we carry at Larder comes from an affinoir called Giorgio Crivero. He's a fifth generation affinoir of nothing but Parmigiano Reggiano. And he's sourcing for us specifically from one farm in the hills right outside of Modena, which is another one of the kind of famous towns. It's famous for its balsamic vinegar.
Wow.
And there's lots of dairy in the hills right outside.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool. Have you been there?
I have been to Modena, but not to the farm where my Reggiano comes from. I'm looking forward to that on my next trip to Italy.
Ah, cool. Yeah. That must be fun. So, Amy, your Lucy's Way is all about American artisanal, and it's mostly like local New York State. Is that the
We've got a few from New York State, but really we have cheeses from all over the country. So today the cheese I brought is called Dante from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, Wisconsin is very famous for milk and cow's milk, but this is a sheep's milk cheese made in the style of Manchego.
Ooh.
From Spain. And it's made with sheep's milk from the Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Collective.
Can I try it?
Yeah, please.
Okay, it's very hard.
So we've got cheeses from California, from Oregon, many, many, many from Vermont, upstate New York, Virginia, Georgia.
Do you find this really fun to explore? I mean, I'm sure you do, but do you find it also a challenge to have to not sell these Parmigiano or what's another one, like, I don't know, Romano?
Yeah, well, we do sell Parmesan, so we've got that going for us, too. But
the other ones.
I mean, people definitely know their cheeses by the classic European ones.
So you have to kind of guide them, too.
Yeah, people ask us all day long for specific European cheeses, and we play matchmaker. We suggest ones that would be similar.
So it's kind of like the guy who's making the cured meats and the prosciutto-like stuff. What's his name?
Herb at La Quercia in Iowa.
Yeah, La Quercia.
Yeah, who does the prosciutto americano and the prosciutto rosso. Yep.
He's like the only guy making prosciutto in America. Is that correct?
Or? Well, he's doing the only traditional and all natural without heat treatment, et cetera, prosciutto. But, I mean, there's plenty of kind of factory boar's head prosciutto kind of stuff like that.
Oh, I see. But you can't really call it prosciutto, right?
Or? No, traditionally, I mean, prosciutto is the Italian word for ham. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you... I call it that. Prosciutto de Parma is a protected word. And Herb doesn't call his prosciutto de Parma. He calls it Americano because he came up with his own style, etc.
It's kind of unbelievable. I mean, I tried that stuff, and it's both at both of your stores, and it's amazing. It's really great, and you get to, you know, it's taste from from this land. It's a little different, I'm sure, but...
It's really well made, and it's really delicious. Well made. We have it on a sandwich today at Lucy's Way.
Mmm.
Yeah, I think the challenge what you were talking about is definitely a part of the job. As at a cheese counter where you can't carry 300-400 cheeses, or you can't be the large supermarket that has everything for everybody, is having a staff that's educated and understands that when somebody comes in and asks for Manchego, and you don't have Manchego in the store, to steer them towards something like the Dante that we're tasting right now, produced in that style, or if you have another Spanish cheese that isn't Manchego per se, but isn't that similar style, to be able to just be more hands-on, one-on-one with your customers, educate them, walk them through the shopping experience.
I think I just ate the rind of... Is this rind edible?
Totally edible.
The Dante?
Yep.
Why does it look like plastic, though?
It's a food-grade wax rind.
Oh.
It's not going to hurt you, but it's, you know... fine to eat if you want.
It tastes okay. It's just a little
you
weird.
Can eat the rind of pretty much any cheese as long as it's not cloth, plastic, or wax, but even a lot of the wax
cloth
ones are food grade wax. Yeah, and you can chew on the cloth a little bit too and
add it to a soup, maybe throw it in there for flavor. So is there a theme for your cheeses at Brooklyn Larder? Is there any unifying, or you just go for the best?
I mean, if people ask me a lot what determines the cheeses we buy, and I would say the predominant factor is taste, and that goes hand in hand as to where the cheese comes from. As you know, the European cheeses, the imported cheeses, I'm always looking to source from smaller producers, not the big factory producers. The great example of that would be Brie. People come into the store on a daily basis and ask me for Brie, and that's the one thing that I haven't had in the store yet is French Brie, because I can't seem to get my hands on a really good French Brie.
Really?
And the supermarkets are full of them, of the commercial mass-produced French Brie's. So
how come you can't find a good one?
Well, the good ones are raw milk, which makes them illegal in the United States, so...
Darn.
Yep.
Maybe one of these days. Yep. Legalize raw milk. So what'd you bring here? I see two ginormous little like cakes of
I brought two kind of individual cheeses. Both happen to be French. One is a triple cream called Grand Mogol from Burgundy. So triple cream meaning
Really that's Brie, no?
No, Brie is actually a double cream cheese. Oh. So triple cream takes it a step further and enriches the cheese with a little bit of fresh cream.
Okay.
And the other one is Chablis-Hugues de Poitou, which is from the Haut-Poitou or Charente region of France. France, not France. And it's fresh goat's milk, aged maybe 20 days or so, and a little geotriticum mold on the rind, whereas the Grand Mogol has more of the bloomy penicillin mold on the rind.
I don't think I'm going to eat that rind. Is there some, like...
The rind's good.
Totally edible and delicious, yeah.
Do you have... Is that, like, a sign of being a hardcore cheese nerd, is that you eat the rind? It's like, if you're not, you're just a total wuss.
Not necessarily, and depending on what's happening.
I'm a non-rind eater.
When people are tasting wine in particular, I recommend not eating the rind, because it's going to kind of... It's got an intense concentration of all the flavors and all the molds, etc. And it can be a really sharp, pungent flavor that, if you're doing it as a cheese and wine pairing, it's going to blow the wine away.
Is eating it on a cracker also like a no-no? Like, not cool?
Not at all.
Crackers are cool.
Yep.
Because, you know, some of them are too gooey or something. And they need something to cut it with.
But yeah, they need a vehicle for transport.
Have you
the
guys
creamy
all...
creamy cheese needs...
Yeah. I see people plate stuff, like, with really creamy cheese without crackers sometimes. I'm like, how does this work? Anyway. Yeah, I think it always needs some crackers. What else can go with it? Well, I mean, as a
vehicle. I'm a big fan of bread over crackers. Oh. Yeah, just maybe more traditional, old school.
Did you bring some bread here?
I brought some crostini that we make from bread.
Oh, yeah, you guys make your own house crostini. That's cool. So have you guys always been cheese nerds? Like, when did you, like, get into it? Did you always know you're going to be cheese buyers, experts? No.
Cheese, you know, I worked on a on a farm during college, and I fell in love with food, and so I knew I wanted a job in the food world. And then I got a job at Murray's, and I thought, this is a great way to learn about food. And then I got hooked on cheese, and I've been doing cheese stuff for
so good. You guys are like cheese ambassadors. Do you get to go to a lot of the farms too, Amy, or some of them? And
yeah, I've been lucky to visit quite a few farms in Vermont, and this Wednesday I'm visiting Capriole Goat Dairy in Indiana, my home state. So I'm gonna taste some great fresh goat cheeses and see how they make their goat cheese there in Capriole. But as for European cheese, that's pretty exciting to go to Europe and visit cheesemakers.
I'm hoping to do that next September, to go to Bra in Piedmont for the Slow Food Cheese Festival.
Nice. Do you guys ever make cheese yourself, like just at home?
I've made very simple cheeses. I've made ricotta, and that's about it, really. I've gotten my hands in the process of cheese making at Shelburne Farms years ago in Vermont. I was a cook most of my life before I got into cheese. I was living in Vermont and took a job, which I thought was going to be an interim job in between cooking jobs, with a distributor up in Vermont that works with a lot of the Vermont cheesemakers. They still do, and they also distribute imported cheese throughout northern New England. And I was like a kid in a candy store when I first walked in there. The company sells about 400 different kinds of cheese, and I just felt the need as a cook, as a food person, to learn everything I could about every single cheese we sold. So the job that I thought was going to be an interim job turned into a 6-7 year stint working in the warehouse there and eventually in sales.
So, okay. So throughout all this time, your cheese expert has just been continually growing.
Yeah. I mean, and there is so much to learn when you visit producers. I spent a month making Gubeen, which is a washed rind, stinky cow's milk cheese in Southern Ireland. And that was the first place I had seen cow's milk twice a day, and the cheese rooms where it's, you know, the cheese is aging and it smells.
And that particular cheese does have a nice little process of a wash rind. I have that in my store right now.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah. It tastes, I mean, and that's the thing, is that now that I've visited, that cheese, that taste, that smell has a place and a memory, and it's so cool to see it at stores like Brooklyn Larder.
And you can share it with your customers and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Really great knowledge. Do people like just talk to you forever sometimes at the store trying to figure out what to get?
Sometimes I wish customers got a little more involved. It's like anything. I mean, some customers do.
Bug Sergio at Brooklyn Larder, everybody.
The customer that really wants to get involved, it's always funny because it's always about timing. It's always when you wish you had more time to talk to that customer, you find that customer that's really your captive audience. You're like, oh, where were you when I had a little more time to chat?
Oh, yeah.
So it's always right in the middle of the crunch when you get that person that you want to spend a good half hour talking to, talking cheese to. And then there's always the customer that walks up and just says, I just need some cheese. And they give you no guidelines whatsoever, but that can be a good thing as a cheesemonger too, because then you can kind of guide them in whichever direction you want to, whatever cheeses you want to turn them on to, take them down that path.
You can try to manipulate their palate and
not necessarily manipulate, but you start getting a feel for it. Then you just kind of have to stab blindly and say, okay, if they give you no guidelines, you start with something really mild, and then they'll tell you, I want something much sharper, stronger, and you work your way through that.
Very good. By the way, this triple cream is amazing. I'm really, really enjoying it. And would you describe that as funky or?
It's got some feedy. I use the term mushroomy when it comes to that. Oh. Yeah, a little bit of depth like that that you get from the cream.
Woodsy.
Yep. Which is one of the reasons they put them in those little cedar boxes. It kind of gets that flavor as well. The cheese that young and soft is like a sponge, really. So the Affinoir Robert Rosaire tends to put the cheeses in little boxes. They also do a Colomier, which is a lot closer to Brie, that comes in a little wooden box as well, and you get some of that flavor kind of seeps through it travels.
Oh, the flavor of the wood seeps through?
Yeah, the flavor of the wood seeps through as it travels. They see that as a better vehicle, a better medium than just wrapping it tight in plastic for, you know, shipping overseas.
Cheese.
Can be traumatic for cheese.
I'm going to take a quick break and have some more questions for these guys. We're going to listen to Monday Money because it's Monday. And if you have any questions for these guys, you can also call in at 718-497-2128. We'll be right back.
Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be. Oh, Monday morning, Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me. Monday, 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 sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me? Every other day,
every other day,
every other day, every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, but whenever Monday comes, you can find me crying all of the time.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning.
Okay, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Arway, and this is Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza. Today's guests are Amy Thompson from Lucy's Way. You're the cheese buyer, cheese expert, cheese aficionado, and also Sergio Hernandez from Brooklyn Larder. Check it out, brooklynlarder.com, B-K-L-Y-N, larder.com, and Lucy's Way, that's L-U-C-Y-S, and then way as in...
Yeah. W-H-E-Y.
Yes, which is the whey that separates from the curd. Yes. And the curd becomes the cheese. Now, why is it called Lucy's Whey then if the whey is not the cheese?
Oh, there's nothing like a pun in the food world. So, yeah.
Lucy's...
This is Lucy's Whey. The owner is named Lucy. Mm-hmm. And it's just a cute name for her to start her own business and call it her whey, but have it, you know, the word be W-H-E-Y, like the cheese.
I get it. No, that is really cute. But is there anything that you guys do with whey? I mean, it's just like water, basically, right? So you just...
Is there anything we do with it? Well,
or anybody does with whey as a culture?
It's often... it's actually one of the most... In Parma, which we talked about before, mm-hmm. the whey from all the Parmesan Reggiano, which of course is a lot of it if you've ever seen a whole wheel of Parmesan Reggiano, the majority of that whey gets fed to pigs, which are then turned into prosciutto di Parma. And that's kind of what separates prosciutto di Parma in Italy from a lot of the other prosciuttos. They call it prosciutto dolce, sweet prosciutto, because the milk from the whey from all that milk is helping to fatten the pigs and sweeten the meat up.
Oh, that's fascinating. Can people drink whey too?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not commonly done, though?
And ricotta is made from whey as well. A lot of ricottas are made from the leftover whey. It can be curdled a second time.
Oh, so you can add it to bring it to a boil, the milk. Or no, it's added to the milk, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Whey is added to whole milk, exactly. And then curdled.
Huh. All right. I'm very confused right now. Because usually when I made ricotta, it's just bring some whole milk to a boil and then separate the curds from the whey. So you get whey from that process too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And there's different styles of ricotta too. There's ricotta. You can make ricotta from whole milk. It's one of the simplest cheeses. And that's, again, a very easy one.
Yeah. I've seen ricotta made with sheep's milk in there. It's wonderful from Dancing You. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
How come I never see goat milk ricotta? Is that something people do? Or
I think the milk might be a little too lean. I've never seen one either. I mean, usually what you get is fresh chèvre is the simplest cheese to make from goat's milk, chèvre just being the word for goat cheese. And it just comes out a little smoother, a little leaner, and doesn't quite, you don't get the big globules that you get that make ricotta.
So it's by lean, it's, you mean it's like kind of less rich?
It's lower in milk fat.
Oh, wow. So goat's milk is fat, low fat. Goat cheese, right? Compared?
Less fat.
Yeah, less fat.
Do you get that a lot? Do you have any light cheeses in your store?
Yeah. We get that question pretty often. And I say a smaller piece of cheese has less fat. I recommend people eating fresh cheeses like chèvre or ricotta.
Or mozzarella.
Mozzarella, yeah.
Here's one cheese I've been seeing a lot lately. It's stracciatella.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the other one that's kind of creamy in the middle? It's like mozzarella, but inside it's like...
Oh, burrata.
Burrata.
Uh-huh. It's like a pool of milk inside the middle of the
ball. Ideally, it should be a pool of cream inside, yes. It's really hard to find that. And the whole reason for it being that what you're doing with burrata is taking a little purse made out of mozzarella curd.
Mm-hmm.
You literally shape it into a purse and then ladle fresh cream into it and tie it off. But the inherent problem
like
there
dumpling.
is that the mozzarella curd on the outside is going to start curdling the cream. So
yes.
If you don't have it within a few days after it was made, the inside is going to be solid cheese again, too. All that cream is going to get firmer.
So it's very difficult.
So if you've ever had the treat of having fresh burrata in Italy, it's really hard to have it in the States when it's flown in from Italy because it's always going to be three, four days. There are a couple.
Have you had the Di Stefano one?
I have.
We just got that in at Lucy's Way, and it's really delicious.
I definitely had one recently, and it was definitely a pool of cream in the middle.
Yeah.
It was like a poached egg, you know? Like, poof.
And I understand he actually brings in Italian cream for the ladling?
Yeah.
That's
interesting. That's what I've heard, yeah.
Can I try making this myself?
You'd have to get pretty good at stretching mozzarella curd first.
Oh.
That's kind of the trick. When I watched it being done in Italy, these guys were just masters with the curd. They just stretch it and make it so pliable. And if you've ever tried your hand at stretching mozzarella, it takes a little finesse, a little technique before you can really kind of pull it and stretch it and work with
up.
It like that.
You know, there's something to be said for masters of the curd. So, but let's talk about cooking with cheese, because I know you guys are both avid cooks, home cooks, and what's your favorite thing to make with cheese lately? Anything lately that you did that was awesome?
Okay, well, yesterday I sautéed summer squash, baby summer squash, and then I put them on top of fresh chèvre on toasted sourdough.
That's great.
So
perfect.
That was pretty good. This time of year, it's really fun to use fresh cheeses with really great summer vegetables, so chèvre, ricotta, mozzarella, or burrata with fresh garden tomatoes.
Mm. Oh, that sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Something light, you know.
And you happened to mention the stracciatella, which we've been using on a great pizza at Franny's recently.
Yeah, that's where I had it.
And that was one of the best things I've had recently is they made me a pizza with stracciatella, and then right when it came out of the oven while the pizza was still sizzling and bubbling, they put slices of fresh, ripe heirloom tomatoes. So they just barely cooked from the cheese. It was sublime. It's probably the best pizza
I've
ever had.
That sounds way better than that sounds really... Oh, that's all right. What is stracciatella, though? It's like stretchy cheese. That's where the word comes from?
The little strings in it is where it gets...
The original string cheese.
To taste it and describe it to somebody who's never had it, I would describe it as a very young Taleggio without maybe all the funk and all the... stink associated with Taleggio usually.
Oh, yeah. There is
but
definitely, stink. I didn't think of it like
but
that.
Definitely, it's definitely got a lot more character than some of the fresher cheeses put on pizza than mozzarella.
I just love putting different types of cheeses on pizza. Why is it always got to be mozzarella or Parmesan or Romano or something like that? They have a pizza here with Taleggio on it.
Yum.
Well, would you guys ever put something else very daring? Like, what about this Dante? That might be okay.
Dante would be great, but it might be better like shaved on top after
because it's not
comes out.
Melty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What about some cheddar?
Cheddar on a pizza, then, you know, you might be straying from pizza if you want to be a purist and a classical.
Okay.
It.
What is a more...
Then you might want to call it a flatbread.
Okay. So I'm thinking daring, but still, like, tastes good. So maybe Italian... What's another, like, Italian in-between...
There's Sardinian pecorinos. There's a wonderful one called Bianco Sardo or Moliterno that I've used a lot. That's great. There's also a goat's milk cheese, also from Sardinia, called Pantaleo, that we love to use as well. We grate up and it melts great. Or
that
just
sounds
finishing
great.
Like
melty
that as well.
Goat cheese.
Yeah.
Hmm. How about like a fresh, like maybe like spread on some chev at the end? No, ricotta.
Ricotta on pizza is fantastic.
Yeah, that's always a good. Mm-hmm. That's always a good one. All right. So, have you guys, cooked at home lately for somebody special using cheese? Because we all want to hear your favorite date meal ideas with cheese.
With cheese lately, no. But one of my favorites is doing some like variations and twists on like classic French onion soups. And it's never necessarily onion. I like to make a nice broth and use a lot of vegetables, which I can do in the summertime too. It just, when it's too hot, I don't necessarily go for soups, but I love taking all kinds of vegetables, broth, chunky vegetably. And the key to it is always that floating crouton with awesome Gruyere and a little Parmesan. It's just crispy, and you drop it in the soup right when you serve it. It soaks
that
up the broth.
Great.
And just
top it with a mound of grated cheese.
Yep, the crouton is, the crouton's toasted, topped with a mound of grated cheese, then toasted again so it all melts into the crouton.
Such a good idea. You could even do that with chicken noodle soup.
Exactly.
Chicken
bread
elevate, crouton soup.
It'll elevate any soup, and it's,
oh my
but
God.
It's what you love about French onion soup. It's all about the crouton and the cheese melting and dripping into it.
And the French onion soup like that just seems like such a treat, too, because it's like an individual portion. You know, it's just very dainty, very elegant. Formal. Good idea. I'm going to make that as soon as it's not 90 degrees. How about you, Amy? Any ideas?
Yeah, well, I love making pizza. I was on a pizza roll until the summer started. Now it's too hot to turn on the oven that high. But once a week for the springtime, I was making pizza, and it was different cheeses every time. And that's fun because it's a process. You make one, and then you can do another one another different way, and everyone's participating. So.
Yeah. That's so funny. It's the third week in a row somebody had that answer.
Oh, okay.
May have a pizza party. It's crazy. Well, it's awesome, though.
It wasn't fun until I mastered the dough recipe, and now that it's like
totally
my own dough.
Yeah. What about if you pre-bake some doughs, and then you have like a cold pizza party, and just throw some, I don't know. Just trying to think of an alternative here for the heat.
Oh, you can grill pizza.
That's true.
That's pretty fun.
Yep. We were both just at a awesome party with grilled pizzas happening out front.
Where was I?
It was a block party in Bed-Stuy a few weeks ago.
At the that Bed-Stuy pizzeria place? Or
no, in front of somebody's house. A good friend of ours in the cheese business, too.
Huh. All right. Well, so do you guys have any like fun, crazy specials going on at your stores or anything like you often have like a cheesemaker come and do a demo? Anything like that that you know of coming up? Cheese pairing?
Not until September. It's pretty quiet in the summertime, but we do sandwiches every day. We do grilled cheese sandwiches, and we also do picnic platters for the High Line. We're pretty lucky to be situated next to the High Line on 10th Avenue, and 16th Street is the entrance. And lots of new cheese and lots of fresh cheese. I think more and more we have customers that are coming in preparing for their dinner parties and want, you know, they tell you the recipe and then you have to name the cheese, which is really fun.
I do have to mention I'm doing an event on Eagle Street Rooftop Garden on Sunday, September 5th. And Annie mentioned, because I'm going to do like a book reading and like a little food pairing. And Annie mentioned, oh, yeah, we could get cheese from Lucy's Way. So
yeah, you can.
Okay, good.
Let's do it.
So let's figure something out.
Okay.
It'll be fun. So that's coming up. and anything fun?
Again, in September is when we're going to gear up and do more demos, tastings, et cetera.
Is summer slow time for cheese?
A little bit. But right now, you know, we're going with that. And we're highlighting cheeses that highlight the fresh summer produce. We've got a couple different mozzarellas to highlight with the tomatoes, with the basil right now. And we've got fresh burrata coming in every week. This weekend, people were demanding it. And we had sold out twice. But there is a fresh batch of burrata landing at Brooklyn Larder on Wednesday.
Burrata!
Yep. Yay! And it has been beautiful, actually.
Oh,
the Leone family, which is actually a latteria in Brooklyn that makes mozzarella, their family back in Italy produces burrata that they ship over every week, and it's beautiful.
Oh, I got to try this. And so, as you heard, you got to get it within the first day or two, right?
Yep.
Or else it's not going to be all oozy.
Yep. It'll still be good by the weekend. It lands literally on Wednesday and going into the weekend, but we're usually sold out of it by Saturday anyway. So
get in there
and quick.
Then we've got the DiStefano burrata from California that arrives on Thursday. We have some now. It's delicious.
Perfect. Cool. So what is the best cheap cheese at your stores? The cheapest, best cheese? Because I'm a cheapskate.
Well, let's see. The shabby shoe that I brought there that we tasted, the little goat's milk cheese, are perfect for grab and go, for taking in the picnic in the park, etc.
They're
$9 a piece. Really easy to grab that and a loaf of bread and take to the park. For inexpensive, I'd recommend taking a slice of something off kind of a larger wheel.
Mm-hmm.
What's beautiful right now that's not too expensive. I've got beautiful cheddar from Shelburne Farms, a tractor cheddar.
I love cheddar.
And I've got the Comté, not ranging in too astronomical heights, but our Comté is really carefully selected as well, and it's
that's
wonderful.
A mild kind of cheese, yeah?
Mild, buttery, but really complex on the finish.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll check that out. Any cheap cheese? Cheddar?
Cheddar.
Yeah.
We've got a wonderful cheddar from Iowa called Prairie Breeze Cheddar.
I love that one.
Yeah, we put it on our panini every day. Yeah,
that's great.
We served it at the Unfancy Food Show.
I like that better than like more, you know, hard cheddars, aged ones. That was good.
And then also one of my favorites right now is a little brie style cheese called Weybridge from Vermont. And it's a good piece for
Is it Weybridge with like a W-H-E-W?
No, this is, I know, confusing.
There's no pun there. It's named after a town.
I'm trying to make a little narrative work. Okay. Weybridge.
Weybridge.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you so much for the tips. And I can't wait to check out the burrata and all that stuff soon. So, check out BKLYNLarder.com, Lucy'sWay.com. Thanks so much, Amy. Go bother them soon, and Sergio. And we'll be back next week. I'd like to thank Jack Inslee and Matt Wiener in the control booth and Whole Foods Market. We'll be back next week. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.